Straight solving. First of all, Sena, I'm talking about our constraint solvers framework we are currently developing at the University where I am. I was actually thought that I will first try to give a very brief introduction to constraint solving, so everybody knows at least a bit about what I'm talking about. And after that, I will introduce our implementation a bit, and with that, I will spread some lies, some kinds of benchmarks, to give you an impression of the time on which reached. Okay, so first about current string solving. And this is a very brief introduction slide. Constraints are available in common systems through the Screamer library, which maybe some of you have already used. Unfortunately, as it has come to age a bit, and we try to improve the overall efficiency of its constraint approach. So what are constraints? Well, very generally speaking, they are simply conditions in the form of subset of first order logic problem. So we try to declaratively describe relations between objects or properties of objects. So the idea is that you describe a problem in a very general declarative way, and the solver is then responsible for finding a way to give you a solution. There are different constraint domains which are usually considered apart. One very important domain are finite domain constraints. There's also the domain of linear constraints, Boolean constraints, but there are other constraint domains like, well, set domains where you can formulate problems on infinite sets and so on. Why is it differentiation? Well, I will come to that in a minute. So, in the very last line here, this is the most simple constraint problem I could come up with. So we have only three variables from an innumerable integer set from 1 to a user supplied n, and we want that these three variables fulfill the relation that x squared plus y squared is that square. So solver should be able to, let's say that the integer set is 1 to 5 for a very small problem, should be able to infer that x should be bound to 3, y should be bound to 4, and z should be bound to 5, I think. Anyway, oops, that was too early. The most simple approach to solve this problem is, of course, to generate all possible evaluations for these three variables and test if it fulfills the relation. Of course, it doesn't scale very well, and it's not possible for every domain because we don't have usually enumerable domains. But the main problem is that we have very fast combinatorial explosion, so this doesn't get us very far. Towards this explosion, we use constraint propagation, which will iteratively reduce the domains and try iteratively to make a bigger problem a smaller problem, still containing our solution, of course. So, constraint propagation is usually described with the notion of a constraint store. This is simple as structure where we will put step by step in all the constraints we know about our problem. So at every step, we will recompute our current state considering the newly added constraint, but of course also considering the already present constraint, in the store. So this, that's what I already said. The process will touch every other constraint we we already added to the store, but there are several mechanisms we can employ to not touch every constraint already in the store. There are only most probably a couple of variables that were attached with changes, so we need to touch only constraints that are that refer to the change variables and so on. There are a couple of other techniques, but I won't go into detail about that now. So the whole process is a fixed point iteration, so we will finally reach a point where no further changes occur, and either we have a solution or we will try. We need to try something else at that point, but I will come to that in a minute. So, again, a bit about constraint domains. The previous slide showed that there's a general scheme for constraint propagation, but we only have algorithms for that are fast enough for limited domains. So we know how to solve linear constraints quite fast with the simplex algorithm. We know how to solve finite domain constraints with consistency propagation. That's the scheme already said, plus a little bit of search. We know about symbolic polynomial constraints, where we have the Buchberger algorithms, but they don't all fit together. So putting everything together will get us probably no solutions at all. So we reduce our focus on a single constraint domain, and for our solver, this is a finite domain constraint case, because this is the most interesting case, and this is also the most important constraint domain, I think, for real life applications, because all the scheduling problems that are around can be reduced to finite domain constraint problems. Okay, but instead of the pure logic approach, that's what I already mentioned, we will try to interleave the constraint propagation and the search phase. So, we have finite domain constraint problems. What are the options? We have domains on a finite ordered set of values. It doesn't have to be integers. There are also proper instances where we have other symbolic sets. There are possible instances with set of maps or set of graphs, but the integer sets are the most common ones. Between the different variables, we have relations and operations. That describe the constraint problem. But there are also developed in recent years, there were the notion of global constraints, which subsume a number of the more primitive relations on the formal point, and which allow a more efficient pruning of the constraint domains. So one prominent example is the different constraint, where we apply it to a number of variables, and this is equivalent to the same number of binary difference constraints. And it is a lot faster. Okay, now about the framework itself. So the general elements that form a finite domain constraint system are also, of course, present in our implementation. We have the goal to make every module of our framework exchangeable. So you provide a number of different domain representations, which should be then chosen depending on the problem at hand. There's, of course, a variable data type that's just managing data structure, encapsulating a domain, and recording some information about the attached propagators. And there are propagators which implement the actual constraints, so the actual domain reduction algorithms. And the number of propagators attached to the system forms the finite
constraint network.
And there's some additional management information which is then used to
speed up the solving process.
And at the end there's also a scheduler object
which is responsible for the fixed point operation and scheduling of the next propagator to run. And the order of the propagator application is very important for an efficient solving process. So we want to have an efficient scheduler which makes an informed choice about the next program. So these are the general elements of our framework. And as I said, they're all exchangeable. There's a CLOS protocol between every module, so we should be able to exchange every bit of it. So the most prominent part of the overall solver are, of course, the propagators, because they are doing the active domain pruning and are responsible for the domain reduction, and are therefore essential for reducing our search space. Okay, they have a few required properties. One, to fulfill our fixed point iteration requirements. Well, I will start the other way around. Of course, a propagator should never remove a domain item that is part of a solution. But of course, then we won't get a resolution if we remove that. The other two points are that it should be monotonic. That means that a domain that is smaller or equal to another domain Y, where smaller or equal would be here the subset relation for the sets, then of course the application of a propagator should more lead to a smaller domain when applied to the bigger domain. And it should be inflationary. That means the propagator should only remove values and not add values to the domain, because that's what we require for termination. Okay. The actual implementation is on two levels. There are the basic constraints that do the actual domain modification, that is just that are just the CLOS methods on the domain data type that we actually remove values from the domain. The others are the propagator objects that are responsible for implementing more complex expressions like the one here, x plus y equals z. That means the actual constraint relations. And these propagators, we use the informations in the reliable domains to try to figure out which values are not part of any solutions. So there are also two stages again. There are the simple constraints, and there are a number of global constraints, which, as I already said, is a human number of these formal complex constraints. The different one is only one example that I already mentioned, but there also a number of other constraints, other global constraints we've already implemented. Okay, how does this all look like? This is the main iteration loop where everything is run. Well, more it's this inner loop here. So what happens down in the solver is that from a queue of propagators, we will take one propagator we get from the queue, which propagator we get is the responsibility of the scheduler. We run this propagator and reschedule every propagator that need to be run, because the variables they are attached to have been modified. This is the most simple scheme done in the solver, but the most intelligence is, of course, in the propagators and in the scheduler. So how does an example problem look like? For the moment, this is using the most basic object. There is a more declarative description language currently being developed, but it's not really finished, so I really didn't want to show it here. So we will use the main the simple CLOS method and objects here, and not the more declarative description language. So what we do is, in the very first line, we create a list of variables from the range 1 to n. There's a line missing above that would be the store setup, but that's just an instance call, so I didn't put it here. So we create a sequence, that means a list of variables from 1 to n of a certain domain type, and there are n, x, y, z. And we put the constraint x squared plus y squared with z squared into the store. The propagator is implicitly created by the init polynomial constraint function, but in fact there are four propagators created. One for the constraint x squared equals an auxiliary variable, y squared equals an auxiliary variable, z squared equals an auxiliary variable, and the three auxiliary variables are then put into the constraint a1 plus a2 equals a3. So that happens in the init polynomial constraint function. So, unfortunately, the propagation alone is not enough to actually find solutions in most cases. That's why we need to interleave this with a search stage. So that's what is declared here in the low part of the program. We try to find always by finding an always goal. We try to make it to do it via depth first search, and the restoring scheme in the backtracking search we were simply using copying of nodes. We don't use any trailing in that example, but simple copying scheme for the storage restoration. Okay, the lower part, which is called the branching sphere, this is the object that steers the search heuristic. We have a variable selection heuristic and a way selection heuristic, where on the variables contained in VList, we will select for the next branching point the variable with the least domain size, and we will select the least domain value as a choice point for the next left search branch. Okay. So, what about the search? And the search is, of course, also generally customizable. So we developed a general search protocol, which should be able to express any search algorithm which is generally used in the constraint field. Okay, as I already said, constraint propagation only leads to local consistency, so we need to resume to non-deterministic search to actually find the final solution. So we have different search methods which are have their pros and cons for different constraint problems. Scheduling problems usually require different search algorithms for a fast solution than these arithmetic problems I have already showed as an example. And of course, we want to apply different heuristics to steer the search process. So, what is the search protocol? There are two, there's four elements of the search itself. One is the goal, that means what constitutes an accurate solution. Do we want one solution? Do we want all solutions? Do we want an optimal solution according to certain constraint or whatever? The search strategy describes how the tree is explored, and the selection heuristics steers how the subtrees, or the order in which the subtrees are created. And the fourth element is the node encoding, that is the storage restoration scheme, where which describes how we restore former node states on backtrack. Okay. So what is the protocol for both? Well, we have these six super generic functions, which do not need to be implemented for every goal, but if you base on another goal, you only usually have to change one or two of them. So of course we can initialize a goal, goal reach P or goal step will be used to decide if we are already at the final goal state or if we should apply certain other constraint at the current step. It means should we restart the goal? Well, restart is of course done by the goal restart method, and to collect solution nodes or somehow process failed nodes, that means nodes where the constraint propagator has derived an inconsistent state, are handled by the last two methods. So we have used these to write these simple goals for the moment. And all solutions go one solution goal and a branch and bound. These goals can be combined with the exploration strategy, which, as I already said, is responsible for the actual tree exploration. So we need to initialize the strategy. We should be able to tell if there are any nodes left which need to be explored. We should be able to select the next subtree, and we must be able to add nodes to the current exploration queue. So what we implemented using this is depth first search, which combined with the heuristic is more of a best first search. Breadth first search comes nearly for no cost, but it's usually not that useful. You can implement limited discrepancy search, which is often used in scheduling problems, and iterative deepening is also useful sometimes. So these are all very simple, very easily implementable using this protocol, and only with a couple of generic methods. It was really fun doing that, because everything fell into place finally. Okay, the heuristic selection is implemented by the branching object, as I already mentioned, but I won't go into detail about that. It's not really exciting. You just have a set of variables where you somehow decide, which variable should I take now, and if you've got that variable, you look into it at the main and say, I'll split it, I will take the first value on the left branch and the rest domain for the right branch, and so on. That's not really exciting. Okay, benchmark. As I said, we first decided to implement a new system because we weren't really happy with the performance of Schema and also with the description approach that Schema sometimes takes, because it makes formulating problems sometimes difficult. So this is an excerpt of from the benchmarks, and this is a slide with the most simple problems. Simple running is
really a benchmarking problem, but one of the most simple constraint problems apart from the cigar and triples. There are two instances, the San Hormani problem, one where, does everybody know San Hormani problem? Who doesn't? Okay. Okay. That's here. That's very simple. You have the equation that sent plus more should equal money, where every letter is a different variable, and S, E, and so on is from set 0 to 9. Okay, so for instance, this one, we allow that M and S can take the zeros, and one where S and M are not allowed to be zeros. So there's that one solution when you don't allow zeros, and 25 solutions, I think, when you allow zeros. And, well, as we see, the CFD, which is the name of our system, is a bit faster on the OR solution, and I think that's the reason, because we use the global constraint, named or different one, which would lead to Screamer using more propagators. So we see that global constraints reduce the problem better. So the second one is two instances of a Sudoku solver. The first click was a very easy one. Even I could use it by hand. Well, the second one, I lost patience when doing it by hand. But our system was able to do it quite fast, whereas Screamer did a bit more. So the Pythagorean triplets, which was that simple problem I showed you at the beginning, where n set to 30 and 100, well, we see that our system is usually twice as fast. Okay, now to a bit more complicated problems. One is the famous N-queens problem, where you put N-queens on a chessboard of according size, which, well, should not attack each other. We tried four different models. The model C is the one that originally came with Screamer. So if you have looked at Screamer, you've seen that model. What model C does is that it uses a normal commonness function as a predicate, and which is called when all variables are instantiated, that means have a single value assigned, and use it as a checking function. So model A is the same thing, but we encode the call to that predicate by an actual constraint. So we got a number of constraints there which express the attacks of the queens to each other. Mod B is the same as A, but expressed as a global constraint, which isn't really fair to Screamer, because Screamer doesn't have no different constraints, so it turns out that it reduces the or different, which is in Screamer, A, B, C, D, E, and so on, which will reduce to the equivalent respective numbers of difference constraints. So it's not actually a global constraint, and we see that the global constraint really reduces better than the simple binary ones. And model D is, well, a new propagator which was proposed by Jean-Charles Lejeune, which actually uses some graph properties of the N-queens problem to reduce the domains before the queens are actually instantiated. So what I wanted to
issue there is that it didn't took me, well, it was about an hour or so to implement the for CLFD, but I didn't really succeed doing it in Screamer, so I left it there. The Gouraud ruler is everybody heard of that? No. No. Well, it's more of a also kind of practical use. It is a ruler where no two ticks are at the same distance to each other. So, but not only that, but we try to find the shortest ruler of a certain distance. So, of a certain order. Of order four, this would be an example. No two ticks are the same distance. We are at order four, and our ruler length is six. So, there are of course many of such rulers, but we try to find the shortest one. So, I try to express this as a constraint problem, and well, I lost patience with Screamer after 2 minutes, and we managed to find the solutions for order 8 in 1 second, and well, for order 9 and 10, the according times you see there. Now, that means we succeeded at least to be faster than Screamer by using, by implementing, well, better scheduling, by using global constraints, but not everything is rosy. Here is a comparison with the G-code library. G-code is a C++ library that came to life, I think, at the same time I started to think about CLFD. So, they use an aggressive inlining technique and very elaborate template mechanism, I don't really understand actually, to reduce runtime function calls and so on. So by using our generic CLFD protocol, we have no chance, unfortunately, to compete with that heavy inline. It is especially obvious with the Gouraud ruler, but I think that's also a small bug in our different propagator, which actually does a bit more computation than necessary. But I will look into that over the next couple of weeks. So our time should go down a bit here, but unfortunately won't reach that level of performance. So let me conclude. What we have currently is a flexible solo framework for finite domain constraint solving. We can easily exchange every module of the constraint representation. That means the domain representations, the store structure, and everything else. We have a generic search protocol that easily allows us to formulate a number of search techniques. We have implemented a number of different techniques, and there are also several propagators, especially global ones, which would use the search space quite efficiently. And in many areas we've got competitive performance, but in some areas we are still lacking. What I'd like to mention that the G-code framework is even faster than the current leading commercial ones from iLook. So I think we shouldn't be ashamed of our performance yet. Okay. What is to come and what we are currently doing? Of course, there's always a need for more propagators or for more constraints. Also additional constraint domains. A student of mine is currently working on finite set domains, and I'd like to implement interval domain constraints. It means that we have
floating point boundaries for a variable, and if you look at it, it's not really different from the general finite domain constraint approach on numerical sets. And of course, there's still the declarative domain specific language layer, because formulating huge problems or bigger problems using that kind of syntax is not really satisfying, especially the Golong ruler, but handling very fast. So I tried to abstract that a bit with a bunch of macros. Okay, that's all from me. Thank you very much. I don't know what you mean by incremental constraint solving.
Like what Consart has.
Sorry?
Consart. Do you know of Consart?
No.
It's a communist constraint solver.
Yeah.
Developed in Germany.
Well, shame on me. Yeah, maybe we can talk later. I don't really know anything about it. That would be cool.
Did you mention which Lisp system you used for the benchmark?
No, I didn't mention. I'm sorry about that. It's a SPC 102, I think, on an AMD whatever at 1 GHz. It's a 64-bit system. It was a 64. But it's in the paper, I hope.
Would you use different techniques for satisfiability checking and for solution generation, or is your impression that you can do both with a single algorithm with acceptable performance?
And the satisfiability checking should work out from inside the propagators. If you run the propagator, it looks at the domains of the attached variables. Infers certain information, and at this stage it should be able to say, many propagators are able to say it, that they know it can't work out.
Yeah, it's unsatisfiable when you find that. When you mention that you need search for the...
Yes, because generally I cannot reduce domains to... no, the other way around. If I have a domain that is not evaluation, I'm generally not able to say for every constraint it is satisfied or not. At least there's no technique I know about. For certain constraints, you can infer non-satisfiability at an earlier stage. And that should, the propagator should do that. But usually there's no algorithm for that.
Thinking that there's quite a few constraint solvers in common Lisp based on different execution models. Like you have Screamer, which compiles down to a continuation passing style so that you can do a non-deterministic Lisp. You have Guy Steele's PhD, which is based on a kind of object-oriented propagation model on electrical circuits. I wondered if it's possible to do the same kind of optimizations on those other models and get comparable performance to what you're getting, or if those are kind of hopelessly archaic.
I think the execution model from Screamer to our model is not that different. Currently, we are using for these benchmarks. I was using a full copying restoration stage, but it's not very difficult to exchange that to a trailing restoration. So that would be that kind of thing that is that Screamer is using. The problem that Screamer has is that, at least that I found with Screamer, is that often you don't really use constraints. It's if you have an input where you're down from the start, where
how many variables you've got. It's not you start writing macros to expand that into that different constraint. And if you look at the example Screamer provides, you also see very often that they write a Lisp function and then use fun call v on that function applied with a certain number of argument variables. So what it does is effectively a residuation-based approach. It does a search on these variables and waits until all but one variable is instantiated. So then it tries if, let's say, A is not instantiated, but B and C. If A is an enumerable domain, it tries to call F with every possible value for A. So the pruning is not very efficient and effective for to just use a simple commonness function, because it gets called only very late down the search tree. And if you use actual constraints, you can reduce the search space way earlier. And that's also what I think what leads to what leads to these big times here. The approach works for small domains very well, but if the domains get bigger and the search tree grows bigger, then you are lost with that approach. And most of the examples, Screamer works that way, and that's really limiting.
Okay, all right. I think it's time for our break. Can we thank Stefan once again?